The following conference is one of a second series of retreat conferences given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Father Hardin is a professor of theology and teaches at the Pontifical Institute for Advanced Studies in Catholic Doctrine at St. John's University in New York. Father is well known as a lecturer, retreat master, and author. This second series of retreat conferences has proved to be of great spiritual inspiration and assistance to priests, religious, and laity alike, because like all of Father Hardin's conferences, one can be well assured they are founded on solid Catholic doctrine. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, the sacrifice of the Mass. Father Hardin.
The subject of the present conference is the sacrifice of the Mass, and we. We know that in sacred writing and in the teachings of the Church, the Mass has acquired a variety of synonymous names. It is called the Eucharistic Sacrifice, or the Eucharistic Liturgy, or simply, the Liturgy. It is the Eucharistic Celebration, the Holy Sacrifice, the Sacrifice of the Altar. All of this reflects the richness of mystery revealed to us by Christ when he instituted the Mass on the night before he died. It also indicates that there has been a remarkable development of doctrine regarding the Mass. We know, of course, the revelation itself has been, as we believe, completed with the end of the Apostolic Age. But there is such a thing as a church's growth in understanding the meaning of what has been revealed. Development of doctrine, therefore, means progress in the understanding of the mysteries of the faith, here, of the mystery of the Mass. In fact, the modern liturgical movement, which the Second Vatican Council developed to a degree never before known in the history of the Church, this modern liturgical movement is only a reflection and expression of a development of doctrine where the Church now more clearly and deeply understanding what the Mass means, understandably, would have that deeper understanding reflect itself in the lives of the faithful. For the present conference, my plan is to see something of the riches of faith revealed to us in the mystery of the Mass as sacrifice, and as sacrifice not once, but many times over, namely that it is, and we should remind ourselves, a sacrifice of propitiation, of petition, of praise, of gratitude, and of love, and all the while in reflecting on the mystery of the Mass from these different perspectives, applying the insights to ourselves. Before we begin, however, to reflect on each of these different perspectives of the Mass, may I first ask ourselves and briefly answer, how is the Mass a sacrifice at all? In general, any sacrifice is the surrender of something precious to the God in whom the person or people believe. In this sense, sacrifice is perhaps the most common denominator of man's religion. All religions have sacrifice. Insofar as they believe in any transcendent being, or for that matter, beings, they also practice sacrifice, whereby they somehow give up or destroy or do without or give away something they like that qualifies therefore as precious to them in response to or recognition of the God in whom they believe. For us, the sacrifice of the Mass began at the Last Supper, and it ended on Calvary. It began at the Last Supper because it was there, surrounded by the 12, that the Savior did two things. He first himself transformed the elements of bread and wine into his own body and blood, and by separately consecrating each element, signified the separation of his body and blood that would be the expression of his death on the next day. He therefore both transubstantiated bread and wine into himself, and he offered himself to his Heavenly Father. That first Mass began in the upper chamber in Jerusalem. It finished when Christ died on the cross. But as we believe, he not only did this himself, but gave to his apostles and through them to their successors until the end of time the power, and that's the word, the power to do the same. They therefore were ordained priests on Holy Thursday night, and by the laying on of hands over the centuries, other priests have been ordained after them. But now an important qualification before we begin our more particular analytic reflections. Where Christ, from the Last Supper to Calvary, sacrificed only himself in his own physical person. Once he died, and because he had anticipated and therefore given the apostles the power to do the same, the Mass since Calvary on, he is not only, though of course also, Christ's sacrifice of himself. It is also the sacrifice of ourselves. The Mass, therefore, unlike Calvary, is not only the oblation of Jesus in his own physical person, it is the oblation of him as head of the mystical body and of us, his members. He then making the sacrifice in the Mass of himself and us, and bidding us to join in sentiment by offering ourselves along with himself, having offered and now continuing to offer himself on the altar. Consequently, as the Church bids us say, the Mass is the sacrifice of the mystical body, head and members, head verse. It is Christ reenacting just what he did on Calvary, though now his sacrifice, or better, his part of the sacrifice, is unbloody, because he can no longer die. Oh, but ours can and should be quite bloody. Whether by the shedding of the blood of our bodies, if it is God's will, but certainly by the shedding of the blood of our spirits. So it's he and we together offering the Eucharistic sacrifice. Having said that as a backdrop, we wish now to reflect, and not only doctrinally on the faith, but ascetically, insofar as we are to learn from the faith what we should do about it. Because the Mass is not merely to be believed, it's to be lived. And we live the Mass insofar as we live lives of sacrifice. The question, however, we now ask ourselves is, what are the different ways in which the Mass is a sacrifice? And because it's our sacrifice, what are the different ways in which we, along with Christ, are to offer ourselves with him to the Heavenly Father? We begin by observing the obvious. There is, of course, only one sacrifice of the Mass. The same today that has been offered ever since Calvary. But while the sacrifice, qua sacrifice, in reference to God, is only one, it can and does have different purposes from our viewpoint, for which it may and should be offered. We used to talk, and for years we haven't been talking this language. Well, let's start talking it again. We used to talk about the different ends of the Mass. Maybe the word was unfortunate, ends. So what's an end? Well, the end is the edge of something. Well, yes. But the end, properly speaking, is the purpose. It is the motive or the reason why something is done. There are, we believe, no less than five purposes, one enveloping the other. We distinguish them in mind, in reality. Every Mass is always all five. Yet for our purpose of reflection, we should separately meditate on each for a few minutes to see how differently we are to practice sacrifice in union with the sacrifice of the Mass. Because given different purposes, there will be a different volitional response. We then speak with the Church about the Mass as having different ends, as we used to say, or different motives, as we can now say, for which we unite ourselves, that is, our oblation with the oblation of the Savior on the altar. These purposes are not the same, and they differ according to the volitional motive or stimulus, if you wish, that Christ has and that we now have for making the sacrifice. Before we begin reflecting in more detail, let me just say that no one makes any sacrifice without a purpose. Hence the importance of strongly convincing ourselves that we have not one but many purposes for offering sacrifice, and always then joining our oblation with Christ's. First, the Mass is a propitiation for sin. On Christ's side, naturally, when he offered himself on Calvary, or now offers himself in the Mass, the sacrifice as a propitiation for sin cannot be for his own sins. He is sinless. But where he is sinless, we are sinners. Consequently, while his purpose in offering the Mass is to expiate the sins of mankind, no longer, of course, as though the Mass adds to Calvary, because man's sins have been expiated as to merit. But while they have been expiated in the sense that he merited all the graces that mankind needs to be saved, there must continue to be a sacrifice, so Christ wants it, in order to apply these merits. And this means especially to dispose sinners to receive the merits which Christ gained on the cross. however, when we offer the Mass as a propitiation for sin, clearly begin with our own sins. We are first of all sinners and having a sinful nature. So then we offer the Mass as a sacrifice in order to obtain grace from God, to get more and more mastery of this sinful nature that we've got. The Church has defined that the Mass is the most powerful means we have for reducing concupiscence. It is especially through the Mass that our passions, our masters, that our evil tendencies are controlled, that the wellings up of our fallen nature are kept in check. We also, when we offer the Mass, offer it in expiation for our past sins. Now you might say, haven't our sins been forgiven? Yes, they have. But we know there's such a thing as expiating something that has already been forgiven by making up the debt that we owe because we have sinned, especially the debt of penalty for sin. Our union of sacrifice with a Mass reduces the punishment that we have deserved for our sins. St. Leonard, on one occasion, and I've been quoting him ever since I read this, observed that except for the Mass being offered on thousands of altars throughout the world by now would long ago have been destroyed because of its sins. Secondly, the Mass is a sacrifice of petition for our needs. What don't we need? And although there are physical needs of which we are painfully conscious, actually, our physical needs, whether of body or of emotion, are only God's ways of reminding us of our deeper spiritual needs. In a word, we need grace, light for the mind, strength for the will. It is not only grace to save our souls, it is especially for our purpose grace to grow in holiness. St. Ignatius put into the constitutions of the Society of Jesus this statement at the head of the means by which the Society would both survive and do its work for the good of souls. The most important and powerful means that the Society of Jesus has for obtaining the grace it needs is from the sacrifice of the Mass. He led the way. When there was question of getting the society's constitutions approved, and there were serious doubts as to whether they would get approved, he ordered the priest, just a handful, to offer 3,000 masses without asking how long it would take. I don't care how long it takes, 3,000 masses. Well, they said them. Thanks to those masses, the order was approved. And to top it off, the only religious order in the history of the Church that has been approved not only by the Pope, but by a solemn ecumenical council, the Council of Trent. And ever since, every priest in the order is ordered. Ignatius started the pattern to offer what amounts to about 4 masses a month for the intention of the general. Since we have about 17,000 priests, that means 17,000 times 50 masses offered each year for the Society of Jesus and her multitudinous, desperate needs. My Mass yesterday was for Father General's intentions. The Mass, therefore, is the most powerful means we have to obtain the graces we need. It is a sacrifice of prayers. In other words, it is a sacrifice of adoration. Adoration of the Divine Majesty. We adore the Divine Majesty and Christ in his human nature, because Christ was and is priest as man. As I've had more than one occasion to, not deliberately, but happen to trip some of our scholastics who hadn't studied their theology well enough. In what nature is Christ the priest? And he better say in his human nature. Or, if he doesn't extricate himself, he flunks. It's the human nature of Christ. Jesus as man, we as human beings, offer the Mass, Christ his, we ours, in acknowledgement of God's greatness compared to our, shall I say, littleness, our nothingness, his wisdom compared to our plain, crass stupidity, his goodness compared with our wickedness, his holiness compared with our unholiness. Now, what bears saying is that God not only desires this, he demands it. God demands adoration. We might say the Mass as a sacrifice of praise is the first commandment of the Decalogue lived out in the Christian world. But now what deserves more elucidation? You might say to yourselves, well, why go through a sacrifice, any sacrifice, and least of all the Eucharistic sacrifice, as an expression of adoration. Behind the explanation of why stands something that is so deep and ultimately impenetrable that only God fully understands it. But in ways best known to Him, He wants us to acknowledge His divine majesty, His Godhead, if you wish, by our consciously and deliberately getting off, putting away, destroying. The theological word is immolating. Something of ourselves, which of course we like. Something that will we call either us or part of us. I hope I will be clear here, because in a way this is the heart of what the Mass is all about. Being human and having such a propensity to self-sufficiency, God demands, as proof and evidence of our sincere adoration, that we give up, prove our contingency, which means our total dependence on Him, by letting go, I repeat, destroying, putting away, or as the old Romans did with their precious wine, pouring it out, or as the Hebrews did, slaying the sheep and oxen, and allowing their blood to spill over the altar. I hope this is clear, because it's here that the essence of sacrifice consists. It is that we somehow immolate ourselves. As evidence of our truly acknowledging God's wholeness and our nothingness. And this kind of acknowledgement, God, I repeat, requires. The difference, of course, and what a difference, between other sacrifices, say those of the old law, and this sacrifice, is that it is not only we who are doing this alone, but God who became man in order. Listen, He became man in order that He might make a whole burnt offering, a holocaust of His humanity. And by dying, prove He is man, and wants us to join in that acknowledgement of God's total greatness and of our total and utter dependence, so that any reluctance on our part, thank God we are not so conscious when we do it, but any reluctance on our part to give up of ourselves to God is a failure in this acknowledgement. The Mass is a sacrifice of gratitude. There is, as we must have heard more than once, such a thing as thanks thinking, which frankly, a lot of people stop with. Somebody does them a favor and they feel grateful. Well, thanks. Others go further. They also express their gratitude in words. And that's better. But better than thanks thinking or thanks saying is thanks giving. So that in gratitude for all the good things that God has done for us, I hope I'll be clear. So what do we do? In acknowledgement of all the good things that He has done for us, we do good things for Him. Now you might say, we can't give God anything. Well, yes and no. Truly we cannot enrich God, otherwise He wouldn't be God. God needs nothing. But saying that is not the same as saying that God does not want nothing. He wants us to do good things in order to show our appreciation for the good things He's done for us. How instinctive this is in the human heart. Christmas cards are a notorious example. People keep a checklist of the people they have received cards from the previous year. So, they will send cards to the person who gave them greetings the year before. One of the deepest instincts in human nature is to do good to those who have done good to us. Right? So, the sacrifice of the Mass means that we not only, of course, assist at the Mass, but that we live it by doing good things for God. Why? Well, just because God has been so good to us. And we don't ask any further questions. Finally, and in a way, summarily, the sacrifice of the Mass is the great sacrifice of love. We know, of course, what love means. It means seeking to please the one we love. It means giving oneself to the one we love. Well, in the language of all nations and understood by all peoples is the fact that when the love is genuine, it is shown in sacrifice. So much so that if I claim I love God and I do not sacrifice for Him, my love is not genuine. It is here especially that in joining myself with Christ in the Mass, I give myself up. In Christ's words, I deny myself, which is not just mortification, and least of all, say, just mortification of the body or of the palate. It is the total giving up of myself to the will of God. So that then I live out the sacrifice of the Mass as an oblation of love to the extent to which I surrender my will to the will of God. That's real love. All else is either derivative from this, or it is not love. One final observation. Each of the aspects of the Mass that we have gone through in what was really a short time to cover a vast panorama of faith should be for all of us a distinctive motive for not only attending Mass or even just living the Mass, but of growing in holiness through the Mass. There are many ways of doing this. May I just suggest that in every Mass we attend, we reflect, even if it's just for a moment, on which one or more of these perspectives, which one of these is my special motive for this Mass. Some people are in the habit of spending a week or even a month on uniting themselves with Christ in the Mass as a sacrifice of gratitude, or again as a sacrifice of petition. Then they specify petitions. It is well to be definite, particular, specific, in order that both our assistance at Mass that we attend and the almost 500,000 Masses that are offered throughout the Catholic world each day might obtain for us what God wants to give us, the fullness of His grace, through the principal channel of salvation that He has given us, the reenactment of His own sacrifice on Calvary, to be reenacted and by us relived every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.